to another episode of Journey to the Rise. I'm your host, Lucretia. We continue the conversation in a part two with Alex Laredo from The Blessed Carpenter. Alex doesn't hold back in part one or part two of our conversation. We dive into his journey on YouTube and how it is changing his life. From being a woodworker quietly working on projects in his garage, he is making big strides on YouTube and building an incredible community all around him. And you can see why. He's a down-to-earth, hardworking man who, like any of us, is simply trying to find his way in life. Let's dive into part two and welcome back my guest, Alex Laredo.
You feeling, the initial question is like, you feeling lonely and isolated that, yes.
So, when Phil met me, I went to church. I started going to church. He just wanted to go to church. He kept praying for me. And my goal was after that, because I did that year and I maxed out and I came out, I wanted to help kids stay off of the streets. And like, I wanted to start a nonprofit, a 501c3, to keep kids. My mission was to keep kids off the streets, away from gangs, away from drugs, and away from guns. Because there's a war on drugs and it's set up as a way to lock people up, and it's just set up against you, and they're push it so much, propagandized, and like their media for like music and everything, and glorify it, and they're setting you up for failure. And there's mandatory minimums for gun charges. Like, you get an automatic 2 years where I'm at, and if you're a felon, it's an automatic 5 years. You can't do consecutive with the rest of your concurrent with the rest of your case. So you're gonna do, say they catch you with some drugs and you get a 5 year charge for that or a 10 year charge for that, you're gonna do that, and then when that's done, you start your 5 years for the gun. And these kids, they're really ignorant to the law, and they don't know, and they're railroading them and keep sending them that way for profit. And prison's for profit, and it's just bugged the hell out. And everybody, these kids don't know that, and they think they're living this righteous life, but those days are over. You know what I'm saying? And you're tracking everything. They track everything you do on these cell phones. Like, when I was doing it, cell phones were first coming out. There wasn't cameras on them. You could still punch somebody in the face, and it wouldn't show up on everywhere. Now, videos from everywhere, every angle, you do anything wrong, and every time you're on the phone, there's that little red dot, and these kids are selling drugs on their phone and then getting indicted for, like, and then they use Cash App and they're wiring, everything's on record, like, right. And you guys are getting thrown away, and they're throwing their lives away, and it's only affecting like the minority urban community. That's not really affecting anybody in the country, because it's not really enough to police those rural areas. You know what I'm saying? They're only stuck where everybody's stuck in intermingling. So, kids. And Phil is always working with kids in the park. So that's why I originally took lunch with him and decided to meet, talk to him, because I really thought he was a cop, and I really didn't care that he was a cop. I just wanted to help the kids, and he had connections with that. But he didn't want to, I thought for sure that he would want to, like, talk about something different. He didn't. He just wanted to talk about God. And it was so weird to me. And then he was just begging me to go to church. And it was my birthday coming up a couple months later, and I have a grandfather who, he's one of the best people I know. He's my stepmom's dad, and he's big into God, but he lives one of the best lives I've ever witnessed in my life, of people who are living correctly, and that's how it's supposed to be. And he doesn't have a house, he has an estate, and he's doing things, and he's trading, and they have money, and it's like, that's not how I was raised, and that's not the stuff that I seen around anybody around me. So I would look up to that, kind of, and just seeing that he was living right. And he came over for my birthday driving. He started everything. He's like me. Everything he does it real big and goes all in. If he starts a farm, he's starting a farm, and it's going to be, we're farming now. And then he started a mineral collection, and he has like a mineral collection that's museum quality. I think it was just bought by a museum, actually. And he was coming back from picking up some copper from the UP, and he was just diagnosed with cancer. And,
I'm so sorry.
He showed up to my birthday, and he said, "What do you want for your birthday?" I said, "Grandpa, all I want is you to drink, have a beer with me, and smoke this joint with me, please." And he was like, "I'll tell you what. If you read the first, I think it was Mark and Matthew, if you read the first two books of the New Testament, I will." And I was like, "Okay." So I was like, "Okay." So we drank, and we smoked, and he gave me... He came to my work the very next day with a little copy of The Message, a leather-bound copy of The Message. And it was like today's term, so I don't have to read through the old timing. I started reading that, drinking that night just to be honorable and a man of my word for my, to say that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything that I expected. I was expecting everything to be a goody two shoes, and Jesus was not, like, not following any of the rules of the time, but he was just a good person. And I strongly believe that. Like, I'm not a rule follower. It was 100 years ago, it was legal to own somebody based off the color of their skin. And it was illegal to help set them free. That doesn't make it fucking right and wrong. So, like, I'll argue with people all day about the law. And, like, you don't need somebody to tell you not to be a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel very strong on that. So when I go in front of judges and, like, I'm in trouble or something, and I'm arguing with them about something or about my kids, especially about my kids, I have a really hard time accepting, because it's the law, this is the way it is. I don't give a damn. I'm their dad. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck what your paper says. Like, I am their dad. And they don't like that I don't like either, that I don't have a complete obedience. It's like, they just want everybody. But that's what this country was founded on. And people don't realize that. We were founded on fighting for our rights and sticking it to the government. And that's why we had the Second Amendment. We fought Britain. And that's why we have our independence. Like, we are rebels. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And everybody, they're teaching the whole new generation to just conform. Sensitivity, no, nothing. Yo, we were raised on bullying. That's what made us strong as a country. We grew up getting bullied. That's what made me such a good person today. Like, if we wouldn't have been through all that shit and had all those hardships, I wouldn't be pushing so much positivity right now, because I know how strong mm-hmm. that is. Like, and people would have to go through those things. So when I'm being real with people, it's just this is the flat-out truth. When I started going to church, and the reason I was saying all that was because the first times I started, I got into the message, and I started calling my grandpa and Phil every few chapters. Like, dude, I can't believe this. And I was drunk, talking drunk. Just because I was encouraged and stuck through it. And I got really into it because Jesus was a rebel and not following the rules, and he was doing what was right. And it wasn't by the law. It was by what was mm-hmm. right. And that soaked me all the way in. And I was like, all right, I'll go to church with you. And I went to church with Phil one time, and everybody was fake as hell. And I was like, ooh, I don't trust these people, because they have a lot to hide, because I've lived these lives around. I've dealt with all kinds of people. I can tell when somebody's lying. My bullshit meter is impeccable. I noticed right then and there, like, I don't want to be that Christian. I'm going to be myself. I started on the second YouTube video, I said a couple cuss words, but then people were saying, well, my followers don't cuss. And I want to say that I'm a cussing Christian, but then I forgot that people are inviting me into their homes, and they're putting me on the TVs with their kids around. And, like, you have to have the respect of their families, you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And I didn't think about that. So then I thought about that, and I was like, I'm just going to keep it clean and go that route and be myself. So mm-hmm. I'm just myself. And honestly, I cuss a lot around my kids. I was making these originally for my kids. Like, I was out here cranking out these little swords because we were hard up on cash. I couldn't buy my kids anything for Christmas. And I cried myself to sleep feeling like a half a man, because we had to keep the lights on, and we didn't have no food, and we don't get no welfare. And it's just really hard times right now. And I didn't feel good about anything. So I was trying to use anything. I found some wooden stakes that drive into a garden in my garage. And I had some 2x4. I'm like, I'm going to turn these into swords real quick, I guess, out of this free wood. And I'm going to see if I can sell them. And I was selling for $25, and it was working. And I just started being lonely out here, I guess, because it's really quiet. And I had this giant Bluetooth speaker. I was listening to music, but it broke. And I went and bought this really long screwdriver special to fix it. And it didn't work. And I was going crazy out here. And I recently just found out that I'm a very codependent person. And I just found out a lot about myself that I didn't know about myself. I thought I was unique. Completely hurt my feelings to know that they wrote a book about my personality and every move that I make and how I react. And they studied people exactly like me. And I am a textbook personality. And it hurt my feelings that I wasn't unique in any way. And every girl I've ever been with my whole life was right. I do have mommy issues.
Hindsight can be 2020.
I was like, shit. And I've just come to terms with, that's why I'm not doing good, is because this is the type of person I am, and it's just who I am. I'm not I've always surrounded myself with a lot of people, and I thought it was because that's how I grew up. I was a partier, and my parents were partiers. I was that Mexican kid going to sleep at the dances while the lights are banging and the stereos are booming, and I'm sleeping right there in the chair peacefully. I grew up in that environment, and I thought that it was because I grew up in that environment that I needed that, but no, it's the trauma that I've been through. And it's when I was a kid, I was left alone a lot. And I wasn't allowed to tell anybody, or my mom would be like, if you tell anybody, they're going to take you and your brothers and sisters away, and you're never going to see none of us again. And it really happened. And then she would like leave and say, like, so my mom was the dad that went to get milk and never came back, but she didn't leave us with our dad's mom. She would just leave. As soon as I could
Wow.
change a diaper and make a bottle, she'd be like, okay, I'll be right back, and she'd never come back. And this is before cell phones. I couldn't get a hold of her. She'd call and check in every once in a while and say, I left $20 here, call and order a pizza, but have them leave it and don't open the door type shit. And I was literally like 7, 8 years old and taking care of a newborn baby. And like, I couldn't tell anybody, or it was going to be like, weird, or my family's gone.
Right.
Like, so.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Alex talks about how he puts what is right over wrong as a priority in his life. Imagine walking waist deep in a field of flowers while taking in an endless view of beautiful blue sky and clouds. Stargazer Farms WI is located in northwestern Wisconsin, offering flowers, vegetables, special events, and more. From stargazing parties to bridal flower parties, flower bars, bridal flower buckets, and a variety of special events like brunch on the farm. Take a moment to escape from the chaos of life. Take a breath on a quiet farm where the breeze can clear your head and the peace can cleanse your soul. Come find a sense of peace and calm at Stargazer Farms. Come for the flowers. Stay for the stars. To find out more, go to www.stargazerfarmswi.com. And for long-form content, check out their YouTube channel at Stargazer Farms WI. One moment you're watching them waver while they walk. Then the next thing you know, they're 18 and walking away, all grown up. 18 years felt like 18 minutes. Don't let those fleeting moments get lost. Take time to book your memories with Girl Boss Photography. Girl Boss Photography offers three different packages to meet your needs. The ultimate senior session will make you feel as special as you deserve. Be treated like a princess with hair and makeup, fully guided photo session, behind-the-scenes photos and videos that will create a day that you'll never forget. In the ultimate senior session, we capture the special time in your life with a memory keepsake video. This video will be cherished for years and can be shared with friends and family over and over again. Don't let your senior year go without experiencing the ultimate senior session with Girl Boss Photography. To find out more, go to www.girlbossphotography.com and get your photo session booked today. The Journey to the Rise. We continue the conversation with Alex, and he goes into the behind-the-scenes story of why he started a YouTube channel and what it means to him.
I just don't like to be alone. And I told people that. And it worked. I found my people and they hang out with me. And I've learned that in therapy though. Like all the counseling and all the anger management, all the everything, it's all the same thing. It says you just have to be honest and face your truth and let people know the truth so that way they don't trigger you and you don't react, because everybody has emotions and you can't control your emotions, but how you react to your emotions is how, like, I know all the shit, all their bull crap, but like I'm still not happy. And like I just it's making me happy finding my community and finding my people and actually talking to people again. Because what's happened is, since COVID and since I got married, I stopped playing in the streets. And I have emphysema and asthma. And dude, I was so scared of COVID when they said that it was a respiratory thing. I'm not even gonna lie, I was such a dirtbag. I bought a kid's nebulizer from somebody. Send me your kid's nebulizer. They sold me the kid's breathing issue. What the piece of shit hair. The mask doesn't even fit me, it's so small, but I bought all of it because I was scared to die. So,
Yeah.
It's a different part of my life. I was living differently. Now I wish I knew who I bought that from and could remember where I got it so I could return it to the damn kid. Like, I just think I've done so much. And people have this picture of me in their head, like, Alex, yeah, he's that guy. He's, but they don't understand. That's not who I am. I was just drunk.
You're right.
I like it because it's left a legacy in my town. And like, I don't live in a huge town. I live in I'm from Lansing, Michigan. It's the capital of Michigan, but I think we're a small city. I thought Lansing was huge until I left this mug. I was north side everything till I die, until I realized like I could spit across this damn town compared to other cities. And we're in between Jackson, and we're in between Grand Rapids and Detroit and Big Rapids and all these big cities, Saginaw. So we're a little city with a big city complex. That's what I've noticed.
Right.
And like, so for me, being outside and playing in the streets, I'm known as a certain type of person because I was always that type of person. But now I'm married and I'm settled down and I'm not drinking. I don't want to be seen as anything different. They think I'm tough. They think I'm, I don't, I have a good standing and a great reputation out here. I've always been a good person, solid as hell, and stood on business. And I don't want to be the sad little frail person out there partying and doing weak ass shit. Like, I want to keep moving forward and progressing and doing better things. And
Yeah.
like, since I've been married, I stopped playing outside and my friends started coming over, but then all my friends died and went to prison. And like, there's literally nobody now. Like, I have one friend who he's in rehab right now, thank God. And yeah. So I've been hanging out with my church friends, and they made a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about Jesus is he liked misfits.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
That was weird. That was really weird. I'm sorry.
They're okay. And when you're talking about like
My
pushing
friend.
back on authority, I remember being pretty young and seeing a bumper sticker that said question authority. And I think we've gotten away from that. I think we've gotten very complacent.
Yeah.
And that isn't always the right space to be. Like we can push back and question authority and be respectful, but we should be asking questions.
Of course,
And we
especially when
should
it's
be
like your
holding
later
them
life.
accountable.
And that's part of the beauty of this country. That's why everybody talks about this country from all over the world. Like, we're supposed to be the people who are free. You know what I mean? And it seems like they're slowly taking our rights. A lot of people don't realize nowadays that the whole judicial system has changed in the last decade. You don't have your rights like they do in normal anymore. So before, they would operate by the Constitution and respect the Constitution and your rights. Now it's your job to assert your rights. And if you don't assert your rights right away and you find out later this is wrong and you try to appeal it, during the appeal process, they'll tell you, well, you waived your rights because you didn't assert your rights. So it's like, dude, you're bullshitting people and you're bulldozing people because they're ignorant to the law, but the ignorance to the law is not supposed to be an excuse. But all of these judges also took a constitutional oath and it's on record. So you can hold them accountable. Like, didn't you say this? Okay, now you're practicing from the bench and you're going against what you took an oath for the Constitution, and it's treason, technically. A lot of people don't know the law, but I've been dragged through it so much, I've had to learn it. I'm damn near a lawyer, I feel like. Like, I don't get in trouble often, but when I do, I am fighting for the rest of my life. It's like a 30-year, 100-year charge, and there's like 10 of them racked up because it's like I already did it. So I'm doing it all the way, we're all the way in. We're going that way. And I don't know what you're willing to do for yours, but I crash out and I will fight it because I know that I'm right. I know that I'm doing the right thing. It might seem wrong at the time or be wrong in certain people's eyes or because the law says it like this, but I don't give a damn about the law. I care about what's right and what's wrong, and I'm going to handle the business that needs to be handled at the time. And I'm going to keep my people safe, and I'm going to be safe. And like, the thing with people now is when, like you said, you have to question authority. They're doing stuff in the dark now during the middle of the night hours and changing laws on us, and we don't even know that they're changing. And then we go to court and we didn't know these new updates and stuff, but they're operating under these new umbrellas. You know what I mean? So like, I think it's very important that people pay attention and don't. You can't just take your side from the left side or the right side or whatever news you're watching. We are all on the same. We're flying on the same plane. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right wing, left wing. You need to care about the whole plane. You know what I mean? And people
Yeah.
don't. They just care about their side of their opinion. And a lot of times, both sides are wrong. There's a middle ground. It's so
Right.
extreme. You know what I mean? Like.
And there's enough for everybody. Like, whether you're right or left or center, there's enough for everyone to go around. At the end of the day, I think we really want the very similar things. And another bumper sticker. But again, this stuck with me a long, long time. I was a kid, and it said, if the people lead, the leaders will follow. And we forget that these people who are in authoritative positions were probably elected. And if they were elected, then we are, they are servants of the people, and we have to hold them accountable. And if they are passing laws in the middle of the night when we are asleep, because that's what they want the people to be asleep, then we have to, and it sucks because a lot of people don't want to be employers. And that's what this is. Like, you always have that coworker who doesn't come to work on time, doesn't have the follow through, doesn't do everything, leaves it for somebody else. And then you watch that manager get tired of repeating themselves, so they let it go. That's where, that to me is what the people need to do to representatives and people in authoritative positions. You have to hold them accountable. You have to question their authority. And yeah, it gets tiring to remind someone to do their job, just like it gets tiring to tell your kid, for the love of God, pick up your toys.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that if we can let a felon be a president of the United States, he shouldn't hold nobody back from any job. He's running the whole country. He's dictating what happens. Well, he's not dictating, but he's deciding what's going to happen ultimately to our futures. But you're telling me I can't stack boxes over here for this company because I have it? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I know I appreciate your willingness to be so vulnerable and open and honest in a public forum, because I believe your willingness to share that vulnerability, and I know you don't like the word weakness, but that gives you strength. And it gives others strength. So don't be afraid to let your kids to see the weakness, because that's the reality of life. And when they see that, it prepares them better for when they do turn 18, 21, 31, and they're off in life, because they'll have their own weaknesses. And if they can see it in you, and that you're healthy and strong and willing to communicate, like, look, dad's not having a good day. Like, this, dad wants to be this way, but dad's also human. That's going to help support them later in life. So don't be afraid to show your weakness. It really actually gives you strength.
Thank you.
So, how did the idea of starting a YouTube channel come to you?
So, like I said, I was pretty lonely out here, and my health is going down pretty fast. I think it has a lot to do with stress. I'm not sure. Could it? I drank a lot, and I didn't throw up as much when I drank. I started throwing up so much, and like, it was really bad. My body wouldn't even accept water. Like, I was losing all of my electrolytes. I was losing weight really fast. I lost a lot of weight really fast. I lost 8 pounds in like the last 2 months. And I had a hiatal hernia that my stomach had pushed up through my diaphragm and surrounded my heart, lungs, and esophagus, and they wanted to operate. Like I said, I've never been to the hospital until like 2020, and now everything's going wrong. My arm, I was in the hospital for days because of the alcohol poisoning in my arm, and then my stomach was starting to go down, and they wanted to do surgery, and I've seen so many people do surgery and be like, they messed me up worse. And I was really scared, and I told them no at first, and then a year later they did a scope, and they were like, we're doing surgery, you don't have no choice, you're gonna die. Like, we have to do this, or you're gonna die. So they did the surgery, and they did the surgery August 5th. My esophagus, because all my intestines came up into my chest, my esophagus crumpled up like an accordion. So when they had to stretch it back out, it was so hard on my body to re-stress that out. I was stuck in the fetal position for 3 months. Like, stuck, could not move. Karma is so real. Like, you shoot somebody with your left arm, God will take your left arm. And like, everything I've done bad, God, I feel like God is punishing me and taking care of me at the same time, 100%. Because it's all part of God's plan, and I'd be thanking him. I'd be in there crying in the fetal position of pain. It's like a toothache or an ear infection, but it's deep in your nerves and your stomach and your core and you're around your heart. I feel like I'm going to die sometimes. I feel like if I breathe wrong, my heart is going to stop. Mm. And, like, it's terrifying. So I'm in there just thanking God. Whatever you're doing, God, thank you for whatever you're stopping me from doing right now, or whatever you're keeping me from being able to do right now. Whatever your plan is, thank you. I'm just thanking him.
Yeah.
And then I'm unable to eat. And I've been reading lately that when you starve and when your body fasts for long periods of time, it eats all the disease in your body and even cancer. So I'm like, maybe he's curing me. I've been smoking since I was 8. Like, maybe he's curing me of whatever disease was trying to stop me and humbling me and putting me down right here to stop me from whatever I would be doing right now that would be messing my life up. And he's healing me at the same time. I was kind of starting to lose hope. It was getting bad. And, like, I don't get to see my kid. As much as I want to.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this to go like this.
I kind of tend to have the effect on people like this.
So I just wanted to leave my kid something to see who I am.
Yeah.
Because
they're proud of you.
I really wasn't expecting anybody to see anything or pay attention or care. And people started watching, but I was really just showing my kids how to make a sword and like show. I put it for YouTube, so I figured people would stumble upon it, and I was just talking to anybody there. But I was talking to the camera like it was a person, not like, because I was going crazy. And that's how it happened.
But I think that's you being authentic. And in this fake world of social media and the digital, like, they want authentic. And because you are willing to be real, you're willing to be vulnerable, you're sharing your story and you have the challenges that you're facing, you know, when things go wrong, you're very real about it. You don't sugarcoat it. You know, like, I think there was a day you had a project and, like, I think a board wasn't working. And you're like, dang it. And you're like, you know what? Wait, I can fix this. And you found the solution. But, yeah, like, the fact that you do look at us in the camera and you keep it real, you know, and you're not lying. You're like, look, it's a garage. It's what I have. And how many, if you go to these woodworkers out there, and I'm not condemning any of them, like, I watch them as well, and they're more experienced, and they do have the nicer setup. But that's because it's probably been 10 years in the making, where you're starting with day one.
Yeah, I kind of can't believe how much this came in 10 weeks.
Yeah.
It started like that kid that started with a paperclip on Craigslist and ended up with a house.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like I've done that. I kind of really fell in love with, like, finding the stuff and doing it. So, like, the next aspect, I'm going to be just buying and trading tools with the woodshop money to use that money to make more money, and I can upgrade my shop at the same time for free. So,
right. And that's the cool thing. Like, you're showing people, like, if you don't have a budget or an extremely low budget, because woodworking is expensive, these tools are expensive. Like, you can go to a pawn shop and hope that it works, you know, and hope that, you know, and sometimes it works on day one, and 2 weeks later, the wire short out because it never really worked. So to get good quality equipment, you know, you're looking at low end $100 for a lot of this stuff. So it's not an inexpensive thing to get into, but there's ways to do it. And you're showing the ways to do it. And I think that's really commendable. And I believe, along with just you being you, it's an interesting journey. Because there's so many out there who are like, man, I really want to do this, but how can I afford it? How can I afford a circular saw? Even if a circular saw is like $60, that's a lot of money to someone who is just trying to start out.
I found it for a dollar.
<$1. laughs> So, like, what kind of expectations when you started this channel? Like, did you even have any expectations, or was it just to have something for your kids?
I had zero expectations at all. The only reason I kept it and did the Blessed Carpenter thing is because I have another YouTube account. It's a profileless picture, just a random YouTube, and I did one video where I changed the Flint and the Zippo, and I did this like a year ago or 6 months ago. I don't know why I did that, but I just did it to do it, and I've never messed around on YouTube or put a video up or nothing like that. But I'm really big since I found my faith, and my daughter's the one who actually taught me my prayers. I raised her Christian forever. My oldest daughter, she was baptized 6 months in, and really, really, her mom took the classes to do it because they're Catholic, they're not Christian. And she's always believed in God, and I didn't. And then, so I was really, really close with her, super close. Taught her sign language. I was there every day for the first 2 years of her life. Everybody showed up. There was 100 people at the hospital when she was born, just wanting to see if I was going to cry because I had zero emotions for anything ever. I would not show no emotions. I would not show no weakness. And everybody wanted to see. I just want to see if you're going to cry for your child's birth. I was like, I might not even like this kid. She could grow up to be a piece of shit. An asshole. So, but that was my pride and joy. And I honestly didn't, I wasn't emotionally attached to her. I was so traumatized as a kid and so in and out, people in and out of my life, growing that emotional attachment to people really hurt. So I didn't attach to people and I refused to. And the only time that I've done that is with my wife. And my kids. And it wasn't until my daughter was a year later. She was 1 year, about a year old. She pushed off the couch. I was sitting on the fire and I was stoking the fire and she pushed off the couch and said, Mishna! And went to give me a hug. And that was the first time in my life I ever felt love. 100%. It was like being filled up with light. I can't explain it. It was like I was glowing. I felt it. And then it went away. It just disappeared like that in an instant. And it was like, God told me to just stay with this kid. You'll feel that.
He blessed you so that you could find your way.
And then a year later, her mom took her from me. And then that stuff happened. And I was locked up for a couple years. And then I had to fight to get her back. And that took a year. And I had to pay $40 an hour to see her supervised visits and all this and that. And then COVID happened. I did everything good for like a year. And we were getting our relationship back. And COVID happened. Her mom kept her from me for 3 years. I just want to be close with her.
And you will, because you have not given up on her. Where there is a lot of dads out there who would have given up, who would have walked away because it was too hard.
It is very hard.
But
I have to go to jail tomorrow for no reason because I owe money to the state and the mom's mad. And if I don't go, then it looks like I don't care about my kid. I go to jail forever for my kid. It's just so stupid.
But you're
But I
going
felt
to
that.
prevail.
Oh, always. I'm always going to prevail.
Yeah.
But I felt that for the very first time ever. And I've always wanted to push my kids to do the right thing so that way they don't have the hardships. It just sets you up for stuff you have to recover from. You don't get to progress because you're recovering from the thing that you failed at or that you messed up. And you're constantly fixing things instead of building things. So, I've always pushed their faith into that direction because the Bible, you're not going to open the Bible in any page and get anything bad out of it. You're always going to get something good out of it. So, I want, and I call them to say their prayers with them every night. And I really just want to push that for them. I wasn't expecting to do a Christian channel. I'm a new Christian. I'm a very bad Christian. I'm a cussing Christian. I'm not what people want to hang out with in Christian. When you think of Christians, I'm not the person they want to hang out with. So I was doing this for my kids. And then, like, I've just gotten these people here who just don't judge me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Young Mexican punk with dreads. Always cussing and using slang and talking like a punk. I don't know. I use a lot of Ebonics, and I'm not a politically correct person. I'm not a correct person in any way. I'm very flawed. So I made this for my kids, but, like, I found my people because I do strive to surround myself with good people. And Christians right. are great people. And everybody, and the people who don't judge me, they're the real ones who are, like, what it's supposed to be. They're the real ones. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
people who do judge me, you're not a real Christian. You're a judge. It's not your job to judge. It's God's job.
100%.
And, like,
yeah.
it's really weird how everything happens for a reason. Like, I don't know. I did this for totally other reasons, and it's bringing me health back, though. Like, I'm actually out here doing stuff because I've been stuck in that damn room, dying, losing weight, throwing up, sad, isolated yeah. for years now. And I honestly think it's depression at this point because they did the surgery, and I was messed up. But I met this buddy, Dave, and, like, how I'm talking to you right now, I don't talk to people and tell them shit. I'm surprised that you got this emotional reaction out of me. I told Dave this the other day. I didn't cry at all.
I hear it a lot that I have this innate ability to pull that out of people, and it's not intentional.
That's you found your passion. That's why you're succeeding in this.
You're kind. You're very kind.
After talking with Dave and getting all of this stuff off of my chest and just the weight off my shoulder, I felt like a huge weight off my shoulder. I've been carrying this around for so long. And I can't go tell my thug gangsterhood friends, tough guys, my problems and cry to them. They'd be like, dude, brush that shit off. What are you bitching about right now? I just couldn't do that. That's not even an option. So I don't really have That's nobody. Great. And, like, Phil's seen me cry enough. So, like, I only called him when my life was like, dude, I need to talk right now. And, like, he's there to listen to me all the time. And, like, but, like, I don't know. I've just been bottling up a lot. So.
Yeah. And it sounds like the path of woodworking has led you to this path of YouTube. And in the process, God has guided you to bring you to healing.
It's all in his plan. I wasn't planning on healing. I wasn't planning on YouTubing. I also wasn't planning on building the whole wood workshop. Were nothing. I was making swords out here, and then people started paying attention to those videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I should start a wood shop. And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, all right, I should really start a wood shop. And she's like, well, do something. Just do something.
Aww.
Like,
so yeah.
I've been out here doing this. I've been talking with her. She was my drinking buddy, too. She has not found her faith yet. Anyway, she was 100% atheist and she's almost rebellious against it. So I'm in your judge. I just keep hoping that she finds it one day. She did open her Bible with me and Bible study with me for the first time last week. And I found a piece of Ephesians or no, Epistatles. I forget what it was. It starts with an E. But she really reads these books, the Fourth Agreement and the Fifth Agreement. And it's like an old Toltec knowledge and wisdom of like their philosophies in the world for like the ancient Aztecs and stuff. And yeah, it gets some good philosophy out of it. But like, I feel like God is like a power source. And I'm realizing that now. And I never knew that before. Like, I was a very empty person. And like, love is God. Light is God. And that's what I felt when my daughter showed me love for the first time. Like, when I felt that, I felt that. Mm-hmm. And I, like, literally felt light, like, beaming. It was weird. And
so what have you discovered in the process of starting this YouTube channel?
That people really are supportive. And, like, the algorithm brings you together with people. And you'd be surprised how much unconditional support you get from people that you don't know. Because... And that's always been a thing. Like, when you start a business or you share something great, and you put it on your social media, you'll notice your friends and your family, they like that shit. Complete strangers, they'll love that shit and love it for you. And I've always felt like it's kind of weird. It's almost like a hatery way. I give all my friends hearts. My friend will share a selfie and a heart. They'll be like, yo, stop hearting my pictures. I'm like, I love you, G. Oh, no. I've noticed that starting the YouTube channel that people are just genuinely good people. And it could be people from all different walks of life, people that you don't think that you would relate to or connect with, and they'll support you and be there for you and actually like who you are as a person, even though you think that they are judgmental or like my buddy Dave. I would look at his profile picture and be like, that motherfucker's racist. I'm wearing an American flag shirt. Oh, like, that's not the type of people that's usually been supportive of me. You know what I mean? That's the type of person that's judged me and be like, that's a punk. And been like on the other side. But 100%, he keeps reaching out to me. And I thought it was really weird at first. I'm so scared to talk to strangers. So this is all new to me, to like all the support and love from the comments and stuff from YouTube. It's like, he noticed I was wearing a Love Nuts hat. I was like, oh shit, he knows where I'm at. But this guy has been trying to track me down and commenting for days, and like, I know you're around Lansing, I see your Love Nuts logo, and I almost wouldn't respond for a second, and I said, yeah, I'm in Lansing, Michigan. So that's when I started telling people where I was, because it's out the bag, I just put it in that one comment, might as well. So, but yeah, and I am so glad that I met with this guy. He's like, it's so awesome. So I've learned that not to judge people based off your first look, which I try not to anyway, because I've noticed it takes all walks. And like, honestly, when you sell drugs, after a certain point, you'll notice everybody from every walk of life is going to come to you because they like that stuff. You know what I mean? Now I feel like I'm selling drugs, but I'm selling myself as the drug on YouTube. And
yeah,
I'm noticing all of these random people from all different walks, they like me. It's just weird and different and new, and it's very encouraging, and it's super helpful and hopeful, and it helps me a lot because I'm a codependent person and I'm not good at being alone. So like, it's really good for me, I guess. And it's motivating me, and it gives me somebody to talk to. Like, when I'm alone and stuff, I go to the YouTube analytics and I have a million comments to respond to.
Yeah.
And every time I'm feeling discouraged, I go and there's like a bunch of people telling me how inspiring and how great I am. And it's really boosted my morale. So that's the biggest stuff.
I think God has shown you his love, and you are sharing that love, and it's a light, and that's the drug.
That's nice.
So what woodworking items have you made so far?
Just stuff that my wife and grandma want, really, and my kids. Swords I made originally for somebody asked me to make a sword for them real quick, and I found those stakes, and I was like, I'm gonna make this. And then my son seen it and played with it, and so I was making him one, and my daughters liked it. And then people on social media seen that they were playing with them and liked it, and started ordering them. And then I started wood burning names on them. So, and then after that, I made those wooden crosses with the burns in them.
Yeah, those
what
are cool.
What happened was, I started going for, I started looking on Etsy. I found a YouTube guy who said how he finds his woodworking projects. He goes to Etsy, finds the best sellers or the stuff that's selling fast and in people's carts. Like, you can tell this stuff is going. And he makes stuff that he wants to make. So what I've been doing is, for my projects that what I originally wanted to do was to make stuff to sell, kind of like the Bearded Viking and stuff, small projects and stuff that sells fast. But I seen those wooden crosses over there, and they were hot sellers on Etsy, and I wanted one. I knew my grandma would like one, and she's been taking care of me a lot lately and helping me a lot because I've been sick and all this and that, and I figured I'd make one for her. And then I posted that on Facebook, and everybody really liked it and wanted to order them, so I started making those. And then my grandmother sent me the bird feeder with the little spoon, picture of that, and she bought some spoons from Goodwill, so I made those. And then my wife and I did the squirrel bar. My neighbor has one. And then the Bearded Viking did a video on how to make it right then and there. like that week, and I was like, well, then I guess I'm gonna make the squirrel feeder thing. Like, I've been wanting, I like that thing personally. I think it's awesome. The squirrels
it's
really set the bar and eat the nuts, and I love watching from the window. Okay, I don't know if it's a marriage thing or what. The second I got married, all of a sudden I'm bird watching squirrels, and like, it's my favorite part of my life. I just, like, we had a murder of crows last year, and I was trying to befriend the crows and train them. Yeah, so I've been watching this squirrel feeder for a couple of years now. I've wanted one, and the Bearded Viking made that, so I made the squirrel nut bar. And then after that, the bird, what was the one after that? The bird house? I don't know if I recorded the birdhouse and put that up. Me and my daughter made a birdhouse out of popsicle sticks with the hot glue guns.
Aw,
Yeah.
fun.
And, yeah, my daughter is crazy. So I was out here making wooden swords and stuff, and she's like, I'm teaching her as I'm making the tools, she's making stuff. It's the funniest thing in the world. I just now realized she made this knife, but then she painted it all bloody and put a hand black handle. I'm like, where, why did you make this like this? And it's the fucking cutest looking thing, dude. And I'm like, she made it all bloody. And I was like, dude, but now that I go back and look at the videos, she's testing it out and sanding it down and testing it and making it. So I was like, dude, she made it. It was the funniest thing in the world. But yeah, so I
She's
made.
learning from your example.
You can choose that example.
Well, learning the woodworking process, I
Yes.
meant, like seeing,
So,
a
usually
skill.
scary movies. Like, if I want to be scared, I will go outside and play with my friends. I don't like bad vibes. I don't like negative stuff. I'm
Right.
like, so, like, I watch some of a comedy,
Yeah.
family, good vibey stuff. Like, and her mom, she watches scary movies. Like, my daughter will come over and want to watch Scream or something. I'm not watching that. Like, why do you want to watch that?
Right.
Yeah, so, pretty much. The woodworking stuff, I made this bench, those the miter station. I'm making a lot of stands for my tools, and my next thing that I want to get into making, I can't wait to make. Oh, I got this piece of wood that I have been treasuring and holding on to for about a month now, and this is what I'm going to make my bowls out of, and I can make a few of them.
Okay,
And
yeah.
I'm waiting for my little brother to come over because this is stuff that we would do as a kid. Like, when we were kids, we would play in grandpa's garage and make, like, we made a Gandalf bowl one time. So it's like, now we're all grown and we don't have time. And I have a whole wood shop and I built this for this dude. Come over and we're gonna make
Right.
our own bowls out of this piece of wood. So that's gonna be something coming up.
That'll be fun.
And then this one thing that I made. This little thing right here. So this I made out of a piece of 2x4, but I actually just finished it the other day. It's a bowl stand holder that I made on the fly. As soon as I hooked up the drill press, I was like, well, let me test it. And I'm like, I've always wanted something because it just sits flat and it always is tipping over. With a
Yeah.
stand, it's nice. And then I made a
It
spot
holds
for the
your
lighter and then a
pipe,
spot for the
yeah.
little tool. So, like, this is my favorite thing that I've made. And I just sanded it up and, I varnished it and hit it with some shellac the other day and made the wood stain pop and got it all clean so it's finished off. And I did this while I was waiting in between the Zelda sword for the camera to transfer over. I keep making stuff when I'm waiting for the camera file to transfer to the computer and I'm doing my own thing. So, like, I made these two. This is probably my favorite thing that I made. This little box with a little hole in the bottom, and then I have,
Oh,
you can set. Where's my phone? Oh, you can set your phone up like that on it because it has these little. My belt sander has on a roller, so I just pushed it too far and I let it go deep. But you can put a tablet there. My buddy had his tablet there. You can charge your phone through it. It's got a perfect little cubby. I sanded it down so good. This is the first thing I sanded though, really. So all my other projects
Oh,
were pretty
cool.
rough. So like this has, you
Yeah.
can even feel the seams in it, and I just really love this. And then everybody who sees this like, dude, I need one of these for my garage. So, like, I might have to make a video and put it up for, because I think that would be
You
hot selling.
should.
Because of these little grooves over here and it being a stand for tablets, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Funny
So,
thing
how
I
has
could
the
try to make.
experience been taking video of the process of making all these items?
So, at first, it was very easy because I wasn't taking it very seriously. But
Mm-hmm.
people. Somebody commented, "The camera's in the wrong place. Trash. I'm going somewhere." He said, "I'm leaving. I'm out of here," is what he said. But everybody defended me in the comments. And we said, "Bye, Felicia. We don't need that bad energy." And then they started paying attention to where I'm like, "Oh, people are actually watching these damn videos and wanting to watch them." So like, I had to really adjust my whole workshop. I had to pull this off of the wall so I could stand behind it to put the camera right. And I'm that's the longest process of this whole thing is video recording it and getting it set up to video record everything. It's fun. But actually, so I do have a little bit of a bonus against most people that do YouTube. I was a terrible kid. I was always getting kicked out. I got kicked out of every school I went to. So they, when I was in ninth grade, you're not supposed to have to be able to go to this alternative ed vocational school in my area unless you were in 11th or 12th grade. But I was so damn bad, they sent me there for half the day since ninth grade. And for 3 hours of the day, I would be in a vocational, in a block schedule. And my first like 2 years, I did video production. And most kids only get 2 years at the school, so they take a vocational and they learn it. But I did 4 years at the school because I was a bad kid. So I got 2 years of video production and I got 2 years of graphic design and commercial advertisement. So my thumbnails were right.
Oh,
Yeah. I actually got a lot of scholarships for that from all over the country, from graphic design and commercial advertisement, from like MIT and everything. But I never
wow.
took anything serious and I had scholarships for my local community college. I had scholarships for all over the country for graphic design. And I had a Hope scholarship for my good grades in middle school for 2 years free. I never used any of it because I never even thought, I didn't think I was going to live that long, honestly. I didn't think I would be alive. Like,
Wow.
I lived my life 1,000% to the fullest, thinking I was going to die every day and it was going to be my last day every day as a kid. And like, yeah, I didn't even run away for college. Now I'm kind of wishing that I would have used at least the scholarship parts because so many people are in debt for something. I had so much opportunity. Like, I had so much free rides and free everything. I did sign up for college for a little bit just to try to scam the loan system like a dirt bag when I was like 18 or 19 to get the money for the books to spend on my rent at the time. And I couldn't even do that, so I just messed up my debt and my name at the time for a little bit. So I just made the Zelda sword, and the bearded Viking commented on the video and seen the video. That was huge.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. That was fun to watch. You've done some really cool stuff. So, what kind of advice would you give to a beginner beginner woodworker?
Just start. Just do it. You're gonna make all the mistakes in the world. It's going to happen. It's not gonna be pretty if you're just starting. Whatever you're doing is not gonna come out squared or, but you gotta practice and start and keep going and just don't give up. And then you'll get better and better and better, and your seams will get closer and closer together, and everything will work out if you practice. It's just like anything else, you have to practice at it.
Absolutely. And what advice would you give to someone who, whether they want to start a YouTube channel or just maybe has like a goal they want to achieve?
Do it 100%. 100%. You have to try it. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So, and the worst thing you're going to do is fail. That's where you're at right now anyway, because you haven't even started. So technically, you already failed it. So might as well shoot your shot, try it, and you only need one thing to work. And then if that works and that's what you're successful at and you find your calling, do it. And if it's something too much or it's overwhelming and you don't like it, switch it up, but don't quit staying busy. Don't quit staying busy.
There's a woman I follow. Her name is Brittany Turner, and she says, "You only fail. It's only a failure if you didn't learn something."
So my buddy Dave, who I recently met, shout out to Dave, man, he helped me so much. He apparently I helped him because he's the greatest woodworker and he's the nicest guy and he's so likable. He's so nervous to do YouTube. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand. You can set a GoPro up right here. You don't even gotta talk. Just show him how you're working your hands. And I wanna know how to make that like that. Like you're in there. And I told him most people They're not on their deathbed regretting the things that they did and the bad stuff and the bad mistakes they made. They regret the stuff they didn't do and the chances they
Right.
didn't take. So definitely try.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed with like construction workers, those who are experienced, and woodworkers, they're very considerate and understanding because they've all been there.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just kind of neat.
Yeah, you can't expect anybody to start off and be awesome at anything, honestly. It's like if you never picked up a basketball and you're shooting from 3 points, you're gonna airball. You know what I mean? Like, you just gotta shoot your shot. But construction workers and woodworkers, I've noticed, see, construction workers are more like rebels. Woodworkers are more old people and old guys making little projects, and it's a totally different style of person. Like, that's why I like the bearded Viking. He reminds me of some guy that would be on the construction site with me, and I could totally see his whole past. Like, I know the type of life that you live. And then you get the woodworkers, and like, my favorite woodworkers on there are very quiet introverts almost. And they're not used to being in a crew, but they like working with wood, and they're great with their hands. So I'm enjoying all walks of life from the channels because I did something where it's like, put your channel in here or show me what your favorite woodworking channel is. So I'm checking out all these different people and I'm noticing this guy likes this and his three favorite channels are all introverts. He must be that kind of characteristic and that's what he bonds with. You know what I mean? So it's kind of shocking they find my channel and want to comment and like it because I'm the complete opposite of those other guys. But it's still cool because they're still supportive and we all like the same stuff.
So what's ahead for you in the upcoming year with YouTube, the woodworking, life in general?
So I just filed for the DBA for the Blessed Carpenter Company yesterday, and
That's
I
exciting.
opened a PO box for for the YouTube channel. I did not understand why anybody would. They were telling me, somebody said, you need to open a PO box for the YouTube. And I said, why? And then they said, we want to send you bitches. And everybody started liking me. And I was like, okay, I'll open a PO box then. I feel wrong though. I don't know. I almost feel like it's beggy. Like, I didn't understand why people would pay to be members to something that's already free. You're here for free. You could subscribe for free. I'm not charging you anything, but people want to be a member to something and have a sticker next to their name or get shouted out in the lives. That's really weird for me. I'm almost uncomfortable doing that. I feel like it's robbery. I feel like it's taking advantage of people. Like, I feel like we're already here together, but they want to support me and they want to do that. So I have to learn to let people. And because I always feel like I'm unworthy or like I'm strong enough to do it on my own, I don't want the help. But like, that's how you succeed is by getting the help from people and letting them network with you and letting them join you in your journey. You know what I mean? It's really been hard for me to trust people and to let people in because I just noticed the less moving parts, the better something works. And I'm a very private person and I don't want to upset people because I'm not gonna be no fake image for people and walk on no tightrope and try to be somebody that I'm not. And I don't want to offend anybody. You know what I mean? So I'm really scared to get a large following, to hurt people's feelings, or for the wrong person to see the wrong thing or the wrong side of me and rub them wrong because I don't want to leave a bad taste in anybody's mouth. Like I'm just doing what I like to do, and I'm me, but I'm a very abrasive person. So it scares me to get a following, and it scares me to have people that want to be so close to me that I don't know.
And you will rub someone the wrong way. That's just
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
the platform of YouTube, and you can just continue to be your authentic self and either delete the comment or address the comment and move on. But don't be too afraid of letting a large following find you, because I think what you're doing is so uplifting and real. It's something people need, and we stand stronger together than we do apart.
That's very nice. Thank you.
So if someone wants to find more out more about you, your woodworking, like how can they find you?
Blessed Carpenter on YouTube. I have started the Facebook group page. It's the TBC Woodworking Community. We opened the PO box, so if you wanted to mail me, or my email is also on the YouTube at the Blessed Carpenter. So if you wanted to get a hold of me directly, that's how you would do it. And other than that, that's all I got right now.
Well, you've been so delightful to watch. It's been fun watching your journey. I am so grateful that you have found your way the way that you have, and that your willingness to start this channel has brought a light to so many people. And I wish the continued blessings to come your way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this with me and caring to hear my story.
You have a very important story and people need to hear it. I'm thrilled that you're willing to share it, because it's going to help other people in ways that you may never know.
That's all I want to do.
That's it with Alex. It was such a pleasure speaking to this incredible man. I appreciate his kindness and consideration towards the people in his life. I hope his journey on YouTube continues to thrive. In our next episode, we talk with B. Fletcher. If you're wondering why that name may be familiar, you probably have heard her inspirational and motivational messages on social media.
We got to be aware of how we show up each and every day. People don't care about what you know. People don't care about what you have. They care about how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. They care about, do I really matter? Think about it. And she mattered to me, because I knew it was my goal to get her back to where she needed to be.
Hey, thanks for listening to Journey to the Rise. Please do follow us on your podcast app so you have the latest episode downloaded. If you want to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, our account is at Journey to the Rise Podcast. You can also find these episodes on YouTube. And please remember to be kind to yourself. Fill your cup with love, because it makes it easier to be kind to others. This episode is researched, produced, and edited by Girl Boss Productions. I'm Lucretia, and you've been listening to Journey to the Rise.